I'll tell you little later. So yesterday there was discussion on how to understand Bhagavad Gita. There are many points in that. It should be understood, Bhagavad Gita should be understood as Apaurusheya, just like other Vedas, other Vedic knowledge or Vedas. And it should be understood from the with the help of spiritual master, according to the direction of Krishna, without personally motivated interpretation. One should accept Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead, oneself subordinate to Krishna, and with a spirit of devotion or a submissive spirit, like that. But the main thing is this one. One should understand Bhagavad Gita as it is. That is the main thing. All other points, they more or less come under this one. So understanding means, understanding as it is means, we should understand according to the direction of Krishna, who is the speaker of. Yesterday he told that story of Shahajan. Author knows the content of the book more than anyone else. Right? So, that story which Prabhupada told, that very nice story, very instructive. So, then it should be understood according to the direction of Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth, without any personal motivation, and without deleting anything and subtracting anything. Sarvam etad ratam manne janma marasi keshava, like that. All these things come under this one category. So then of course other points are there. So yesterday we discussed. Next topics. Today's class I'll be discussing basically two topics which I have not written. You can write down. Now how many are over?
11
are over. 12th is teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So 13th is purpose of Bhagavad Gita. Today I will be covering these two topics, teachings of Bhagavad Gita and purpose of Bhagavad Gita. So now teachings of Bhagavad Gita, I'll speak something. There are again many subtopics in that. It's okay. They wrote down. In teachings of Bhagavad Gita, what is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita? If you want to tell in one line, what is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita? Achintya Beda Beda Tattva is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. So, to some extent, we'll see that today. We will discuss this, how Achintya Beda Beda is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita in detail when we are studying the verse by verse Bhagavad Gita. We will see that how Krishna is teaching Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. Therefore, Prabhupada used to say that there is no difference between the teachings of Lord Chaitanya in this book, in his preface to Lord Chaitanya book. He says, teachings of Lord Chaitanya book. And teachings of Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he says. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna was teaching Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. All the Vedic scriptures, they only teach Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. Like in the end, conclusive verse, the last verse of this Brahma Samhita, which we have, 5th chapter of Brahma Samhita, we see that Brahma is telling that Krishna is telling to Brahma. Brahma offered prayers, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. And Brahma, he told it to Krishna told to Brahma in the end, after receiving prayers from Brahma, that he is giving guideline to Brahma Sampradaya. So he says, you and your party. So that means Brahma Samhita, Brahma Sampradaya, should only adopt this teaching of Achintya Veda Vedatattva. He has not used the term Achintya Veda Vedatattva, but the contents of the Achintya Veda Vedatattva or the teaching of Achintya Veda Vedatattva, he explains that in that verse. You should only accept this teaching, he says. And in the purport, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur paraphrases Krishna's words to Brahma, saying that you and your party should only adopt, give away all other philosophies and only adopt this Achintya Bheda Vedatattva. So that means before that, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he explained all the philosophies, all the Vedic philosophies, so called Vedic philosophies. Apparently, amazingly, if you see, it's very, even he explains, you see, now Indian philosophy means, we will discuss that also in detail. There are Shad Darshan, and one of that is Vedanta. And within Vedanta, there are many schools. Four Vaishnava schools are there. They are called as, Prabhupada, sometimes he divided them, two schools, personal school and impersonal school. So personal school, there are four sampradayas. And impersonal school, there is Mayavada sampradaya, of Shankara. So basically there are five philosophies, Vedanta philosophies. Beginning with Vishnu Swami's Shuddhadvaita, Nimbarka's Dvaitadvaita, and Ramanujacharya's Vishishtadvaita, and Madhva's Shuddhadvaita. You understand? Shuddhadvaita is Vishnu Swami's, and Shuddhadvaita is Madhva's. These four Vaishnava philosophies are there, of four sampradayas. And then fifth one is Kevaladvaita of Shankara. So only oneness, there is nothing else. Kevala Advaita. So in this way, there are five philosophies. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur first lists out all these five philosophies, and says that all these philosophies are derived from Vedanta, Vedas and Vedanta. And there is some truth, definitely there is some truth in them, but ultimately all these are mental speculation, he says. So it is a great surprise, you know, even Vaishnava philosophies are mental speculation, he says. Amazingly. Then he says only, and then he, what to speak of anti-Vedic philosophies of Kapila, Jaimini, Gautama, Kanada, etc. Patanjali is one more, fifth one. Now when people talk about Indian philosophy, when scholars talk about Indian philosophy, they divide them into two. Theistic and atheistic. So theistic is based on the aphorism that they accept the Vedic authority. Now the philosophies which I mentioned as anti-Vedic, which are which Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he calls them as anti-Vedic. Although in general all scholars they accept them as Vedic philosophies. Shad Darshan is Vedic philosophy. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur calls them as anti-Vedic. Why? Because ultimate conclusion is wrong. Ultimate conclusion is not Vedic. Therefore he called them, he put them as anti-Vedic. Just removed them from Vedic. Because ultimately Krishna is the supreme absolute truth. Many aspects of theism they don't are not included in these philosophies. So we will discuss this more in detail in our just we begin our discussion on Krishna's teachings in the second chapter. So Krishna started teaching in second chapter, no? So literally if you go there we'll discuss, because Prabhupada has discussed that clear. Okay, so coming back to the point how Brahma Samhita he teaches Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. Similarly Bhagavatam and all the Vedic literatures. So Bhagavad Gita also teaches Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. So that is the teaching. Now I am not going to talk in detail about all these things. In this teachings of Bhagavad Gita also there are many subtopics. One is five subjects of Bhagavad Gita, and other is further subtopics within, because these we will see that in five topics we will discuss. These five topics comprise so whole Bhagavad Gita as well as absolute truth or complete whole complete absolute truth. So therefore there should be no subject matter outside these five topics. Everything should be within these five topics. So therefore I gave the title of further subtopics. Apart from these five topics, Bhagavad Gita talks about, within these five topics, it talks about many subtopics. So Prabhupada has, you know, elaborated them. So he gives explanation of five topics. Within this umbrella of five topics, umbrella is a good word to use. There are again many subtopics are there. And then there are, within these five topics only, there are specific instructions. So that contains instructions and teachings. Abhideya Prayojana. Now I was telling I will not go into detail about this teaching, because this is a very elaborate subject matter, and to tell you all that we have not thoroughly done research in this topic, because it's a big thing. If one dedicates time for this, at least it will take few years, just if he completely dedicates, thoroughly do research into it, into Bhagavad Gita as it is. So, you know, further subtopics and specific instructions and all, we have not done it. I have at least not done it. And generally I take help from devotees. So, we have not done it. I was telling that if one dedicates it, it will take many years. That is one thing. And the second thing is, from my point of view, it will take more time because I am involved with so many other things, mood and mission, etc., etc., etc. So many other things. But you should not be discouraged that we have not done this. It will, and we may not cover it also in our this. We have given the title Gita Parichaya. Parichaya means like, you know, getting acquainted with Bhagavad Gita. You know, so that is very elaborate. It can be now all the quotes which we have. I was mentioning anthology of quotes which we will be giving you, which we have collected on the all these topics. It is some 47 pages, and if we include all these specific teachings, means five subjects, some two quotes we have put from one in from introduction and one from 18 chapters, last verse, 78th verse, purport, and further subtopics, specific instructions and message of Krishna. If we include, it will be not less than some 150, 200 pages. So it is not, you have to change the topic. Instead of Gita Parichaya, we should put it as maybe contents or teachings of Bhagavad Gita. That can be a whole, it can be like Bhakti Shastri course, but thematically, not verse by verse, you know, but theme wise. So it is almost like Bhagavad Gita. If you add, you know, explain that, then it will be like 400-500 pages at least book. If you explain, it will be like thematic study of Bhagavad Gita. So that's a big work it is. So therefore, I'll just what is called as Digdarshini in Sanskrit. Digdarshini means like you see, you know, there is also one Nyaya, logic. So what is that? Ardha Chandra Nyaya, which Nyaya it is? Some Nyaya is there. Seeing the moon through a tree, you understand? Moon is not fully visible, but in between leaves, it will be visible. So like that we will be explaining today, this topic. And Digdarshini means many acharyas wrote books, and they gave their own comments, or they wrote commentary on other short comments, that is called as Digdarshini. So very not elaborate. Like Jiva Goswami, he wrote Sandarbhas and he gave his own commentary on that, called Digdarshini commentary. And Sanatana Goswami wrote Hari Bhakti Vilas and he wrote his own Digdarshini commentary on that. So just briefly explained. Brief, very brief. Okay, so like that. First is five topics. You all know that there are five topics in Bhagavad Gita. Anyone would like to say from Gurukulas, what are the five topics of Bhagavad Gita? Anyone else other than Balaram always answers. Five topics of Bhagavad Gita, five subjects of Bhagavad Gita. Some hint should I give, Damodar? You would like to tell five subjects of Bhagavad Gita? Okay, very good. So these are five subjects of Bhagavad Gita, five topics of Bhagavad Gita. We explained, no? First day we explained, no? When we were explaining that Bhagavad Gita is also Vedanta Sutra, why? Because it also contains five subjects. Okay, fine. So these are five subjects: Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, and Karma. Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, and Karma. These are five topics of Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada says we must learn about them. He says in introduction, we must learn about them from Bhagavad Gita. And then Prabhupada elaborately explains the interrelationship between these five topics. Five subjects. Ishvara means God, Supreme Lord. Sometimes people misinterpret this term Ishvara. Mayavadi Desh, Ishvara indicates, according to Mayavadi Desh, to Shiva. So Ishvara means it is controller, and Krishna is supreme controller. Sometimes Jivas are also called as Ishvara. But here when we talk about five subjects, Ishvara means it is supreme controller. It is indicating to supreme control. Jiva, living entity. So, and Prakriti. Prakriti means material nature. So Prakriti, also word has a broad meaning. So we will discuss that. But here Prakriti means material nature. So you know, no, Prakriti, Jivas are also Prakriti. But here when we talk about Prakriti out of the five subjects, it is what? It is material energy. Material nature, which is made up of material energy of the Lord. And Kala, time, and Karma. These are five topics of Bhagavad Gita. And they are interrelated. So this interrelationship between five topics is elaborately discussed by Srila Prabhupada in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita. How they are interrelated. And he gives in the 18th chapter, 78th purport of Krishna Prabhupada, he gives how they are interrelated on the principle of Achintya Veda, Veda Tattva. So for instance, now Jiva and Prakriti, they are interrelated. So how, what is their relation? In the introduction, Prabhupada, he says that Jivas are of the same quality, but quantitatively they are minute, insignificant. So just like in quality means, just like Lord is the controller of material nature, Prabhupada, he has put that one, that statement, you see. He wants to explain the relationship between Jiva and Lord, Supreme Lord, how they have one in quality, but they have difference in quantity. And he gives the example of Lord's controlling over material nature. So this in turn, this example in turn, by giving this example in turn, Srila Prabhupada explains the interrelation between Jiva, Ishvara, Jiva and Prakriti. So Lord is the controller of all the material, creation. So he quotes Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam Hetunanena Kaunteya Jagadvi Parivartate. And within the so similarly, because Jiva is qualitatively one with the Lord, Jiva is also trying to control over material nature. But the difference is that Lord can make a big gigantic planets to float in the space, but a living entity can only some small satellites, it can launch. That is the difference between Lord. Then he explains, he gives example of particle of gold and gold. Particle of gold is of the same quality as that of gold, but quantitatively it is different. Or a drop of water from ocean. Qualitatively it is same, it is both are salty, but where is ocean and where is a drop? So in this way, there is difference as well as oneness between the Jiva and the Lord. And Jiva is the part and parcel of Supreme Lord. So this is interrelationship between Lord and living entities. Then how Prakriti, material nature, and Jiva are one and the same. There is one paragraph. What is material nature? What is Prakriti? What is material nature? So in Bhagavad Gita, material nature as well as living entity are called as Prakriti. Prakriti means energy of the Lord. But there is difference between both. Both are Prakriti. In that sense, they are one. both are energies of the Lord. In that sense, they are one. But both are different in the sense, one is para prakriti and other one is apara prakriti. Why para and why apara? Who would like to say? Why jiva is called as para prakriti and material nature is called as apara prakriti? But energy also means part and parcel.
It does not have inferior end.
Why that inferior end? But internal, external, from our point of view, for Lord, everything is internal.
Jiva is conscious and matter is
conscious. It exists internally in this material world only. And jivas can go back to
from para, apara.
Durga has no liberation at all then. Has eternally has to be in the material world. Can be possible.
From para, apara can generate, but apara cannot generate para prakriti.
Why is like that? Why is like that?
Superior.
Why is like that? Why it has capacity to generate and this has no capacity to generate? Actually, you are correct. But what is the basis of that? Analysis.
Giving it is a some extent control.
No, basically that one is true, that para prakriti is conscious and apara prakriti is not conscious. It is jada. Chit and achit it is called as. Chit means conscious and achit. So achaitanyam idam jagat. So, material world is not conscious. When it comes in contact with a superior energy, it becomes active. So, Prabhupada gave example. No? When man, woman comes in contact with a man, then she becomes agitated. Similarly, by the glance of the Lord, jivas are put into the womb of material nature. Then it becomes active. That is material creation. So, anyway, both are prakriti of the Lord. In that sense, both are connected to Lord. So, in this way, everywhere you will see oneness and difference between these, all these living. This is internal, interrelationship with the Lord. Then Kala is also energy of the Lord, and it is energy of the Lord, and karma is activities by the Lord. Prabhupada defines karma there, that prakriti has three modes of material nature, three modes. Under the influence of, when jiva comes to the material world, it becomes bound by these three modes. Under the influence of these three modes, being subject to these three modes, living entity performs many activities. There are activities, he says. There are activities. And in turn, so three modes act under the purview of time. So, what is the meaning of that? So when time, different changes of the time, phases of the time, so gunas act differently. For instance, when Satyayuga comes, so mode of goodness is dominant everywhere. And when Kaliyuga comes, mode of ignorance becomes dominant. That's why, you know, often it is told, now the time is not in favor, therefore we have to, like sometimes in there is fight between demons and demigods in Bhagavatam. So demons, Bali was telling to demons, all the demons. So demons, now the time is not in favor, therefore we should not fight now. So And in the seventh canto also, when mode of goodness comes, demigods become powerful. And when mode of ignorance becomes strong, then demons become powerful. There is always competition. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, there is always competition between these three modes of material nature. One surpasses the other, being influenced by time. So, time has its features. So, in this way, activities are performed according to influence of three modes, which in turn work under eternal time. So this is how karma, this is called karma, purpose. These activities are called karma. So basically then, from this we can understand, jiva in the material world is bound by three principles, kala, karma and guna. So kala, karma and guna. It is kala, karma, guna, adino. There is one statement in first canto of Bhagavatam. So Narad Muni was telling to Yudhishthira Maharaj that. So in this way there are karma, and out of these five, another topic here is about five subjects, is out of five topics, four are eternal and one is temporary. So four are eternal and one is temporary. So just a minute, you are in hurry. Actually, especially in Bhagavatam class, any class, but especially in Bhagavatam class. So any class actually, we should not go for even this also. If you want to go, you should do it before only and come back. Okay, today you go. This is also etiquette. Yeah, offense. So, in this way, four are eternal. We know Lord is described as Sanatana in Bhagavad Gita. Jiva is described as Sanatana. Sometime I will take a separate class on Sanatana Dharma. That time I will explain where all Lord is explained as Sanatana in Bhagavad Gita. Or I will, in our course of discussion, will discuss where Jiva is described as Sanatana, where Prakriti is described as Sanatana, and where time is described as Sanatana. So we will discuss that. So four are eternal and karma is temporary. Now Prakriti is also eternal. Although the faces of Prakriti, what Prabhupada puts it as manifestation of Prakriti, the rupa of Prakriti changes, but Prakriti itself is eternal, it is. Prakriti itself is eternal, but the manifestation of Prakriti is temporary. This creation is manifestation of Prakriti, energy of the Lord. That is temporary. So, like, you know, seasons change. When rainy season comes, everything becomes green. Gradually, when summer comes, everything becomes yellow and dies. This manifestation of Prakriti undergoes cycle of creation, maintenance and destruction. Therefore, this manifestation, this material world is manifestation of Prakriti. That is temporary. Prakriti itself is eternal. This temporary doesn't mean that it is false. It doesn't exist. So Shankara, he says that it is just existing in the imagination of the person. It is not real. It is false. Brahma Satya, Jagat Mithya. Jagat is Mithya. So in Bhagavad Gita, about this Jagat, Asat word is used for Jagat. Asat doesn't mean it is false. it is mithya. Asat means, according to Bhagavad Gita, so it is temporary. It is na sato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sataha. He defined sat and asat there. So na sato vidyate bhavo, that which is sat has no change. Na bhavo vidyate sataha, and that which is sat, sorry, that which is asat, there is no endurance. That means it does not remain for long. And that which is sat, it has no change. Na bhava vidyate sataha. In this way, he defines what is asat. Asat means not false. It is temporary. It changes. So that is Vaishnava philosophy. Mayavada philosophy says, jam brahma satya, jagat is mithya. So, but Vaishnava philosophers say that jagat is not mithya, but it is temporary reality. So, it is dependent on absolute truth. So, in this way, very philosophically, these five topics are discussed. And the complete whole, which is complete whole, which we can call it as absolute truth, paramasatya, or in Bhagavatam, vastavam, vedyam, vastavam, atra vastu shivadam, substance, substantial truth. Both words are used, satyam param dhimahi, and in the next verse it is used as vastavam, vastava vastu. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, based on that word, that word, he used to use it as substantial truth. So, this is first and second verse of Bhagavatam. Why you are searching shloka book? You should know all these things. You are all 10 years in the movement. Don't know first and second verse of Bhagavatam. Sorry for insulting you all. But that is to encourage you all to know all these things. So, dharma pojita khaita vatra parama nirmasam vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam thavo trayon moolam. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used the word substantial truth. Substantial truth he used. So absolute truth, complete whole, om purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudashyate. Absolute truth is called as complete whole in Ishopanishad prayer, invocation prayer. And that is what is personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna includes all these five tattvas. Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, Karma. So our Prabhupada sometimes used to, in English he used to put as Samambhanam, Samambhanam. From whom everything emanates. So that is absolute truth. So in this way, Prabhupada, he describes these five subjects of Bhagavad Gita and how they are interrelated with each other on the principle of Achintya Bheda Bhedtattva. So I will not read the full quote from, you know that in introduction, no? What is the subject of Bhagavad Gita? Prabhupada says, you know, starts with the subject of Bhagavad Gita. Entails, like that he starts in introduction, you see, after defining the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. We are taking purpose after these five subjects, but Prabhupada has put purpose before five subjects. The subject of Bhagavad Gita entails the comprehension of five basic truths. First of all, the science of God is explained. Then the constitutional position of the living entity, jivas. There is Ishvara, which means controller, and there are Jivas, the living entities, which are controlled. The living entity says that he is not controlled, but he is free, then he is insane. The living entity is controlled in every aspect, at least in his condition. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, the subject matter deals with the Ishvara, the supreme controller, and the Jivas, the controlled living entities, Prakriti and time. and karma are also discussed. The cosmic manifestation is full of different activities. All living entities are engaged in different activities. From Bhagavad Gita we must learn what God is, what the living entities are, what Prakriti is, what the cosmic manifestation, how it is controlled by time, and what the activities of the living entities are. So like that he goes on explaining. So after this paragraph, basically interrelationship and how four are eternal and one is temporary. And in the end, a concluding conclusion. So in between, because I was mentioning, no, this also includes many subtopics. So in between purpose also, it is mixed here in the introduction. So we will try to extract and, you know, and give you all. Then in the end, I'll just read that paragraph. Complete whole, the personality of Godhead. No, before that. We shall find, therefore, in this Bhagavad Gita, if you don't get it, you just hear. We shall find, therefore, in this Bhagavad Gita, that the complete whole is comprised of the Supreme Controller, the controlled living entities, the cosmic manifestation, eternal time and karma, our activities, and all of these are explained in this text. All of these taken completely form the complete whole. And the complete whole is called the Supreme Absolute Truth. The complete whole and the complete Absolute Truth are the complete personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. All the all manifestations are due to his different energy. He is the complete whole. In this way, so Lord Prabhupada he curse, and we will read from 18.78 purport about these five topics of Bhagavad Gita. There Prabhupada talks about Achintya, Veda, Veda, Tattva also. So you can see there is a second last paragraph. The Bhagavad Gita, five principal subject matters have been discussed. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, material nature, the living entities, eternal time, and all kinds of activities. All is dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. All conceptions of the Absolute Truth, impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and any other transcendental conception exist within the category of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, although superficially the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity, material nature, and time appear to be different, nothing is different from the Supreme Lord. Now you see, I read one paragraph in the end, how this Absolute Truth or Complete Whole comprises of these five topics. And within that five topics, there is Personality of Godhead, Ishvara is there. So this you have to understand how, from Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. If you take five topics, it appears that these four are different from the first one, Ishvara. This is very important point to understand, this statement here, you know, which I am explaining now. You see here, although superficially the personality of Godhead, the living entity, material nature and time appear to be different, nothing is different from the Supreme. So therefore, that last paragraph which we read from the introduction as complete whole, that is very important to know. See, now when we talk about five topics, Supreme Lord Ishvara is separate topic it is, separate subject it is, separate truth it is. These five basic truths he says. It is one tattva. And then there are other four tattvas are there. It appears that there are five different tattvas. Or these four tattvas are different than Ishvara Tattva. But actually, nothing is different from that. Everything is included in that. Therefore, Prabhupada describes this personality of Godhead as complete whole. So we should know simultaneously, just for our understanding, analysis, what are the subjects of Bhagavad Gita, we are dividing them into five topics. But actually what is there? Only one topic, that is complete whole. That is Supreme. This is also again Achintya Veda Veda. So you see how this is very philosophical, actually. Very philosophical. If someone wants to really understand Bhagavad Gita, go deep into it, you can dedicate whole life. Just But it is very nectarian. It's very nectarian. It is. Understanding like this is very nectarian. Each line you see what Prabhupada has given here. But the Supreme is always, so don't underestimate Prabhupada's statements. Each line is very, very important. This, although superficially, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity, material nature and time appear to be different, nothing is different from Supreme. But the Supreme is always different from everything. Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is that of inconceivable oneness and difference. This system of philosophy constitutes perfect knowledge of the Absolute Truth. So from this, how you will understand how Lord Chaitanya preached the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. And actually that is what is given in the Vedas, Upanishads, everywhere, in all the Vedic literature. So this is five subjects. There are further topics within this umbrella of five subjects. For instance, there are in Bhagavad Gita introduction, Prabhupada has given all these subtopics. In Bhagavad Gita, demigod worship is discouraged, he says. Then he quotes that verse, Kamastaistairata jnana prapadyante anya devata. How to go to other planets. Yanti deva vrata devan, easy journey to other planets, he talks, because in modern days people are trying to go to other planets. And instead of going to these planets, we should go to, kingdom of God, back home, back to Godhead. So, and that is substance, and this material world is shadow. If perverted reflection, urdhamula madashakam ashvatam pravravyam, then attaining the Supreme, how to attain the Supreme, very elaborately Prabhupada discusses this in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, as topics of Bhagavad Gita. And then in different places also throughout Bhagavad Gita, as I was mentioning, we are just giving Digdarshan. In 4.7, how Prabhupada explains that Bhagavad Gita, throughout Bhagavad Gita, principles of religion are given. Sometimes we can call it as Bhagavad Gita is a book of dharma, dharma grantha. It is a dharma shastra, we can call it as. In fact, it is best dharma shastra. There are many dharma shastras. They are called as smriti. They come under smriti category of Vedic literature, written by different rishis. Parashara smriti, Manu smriti, Yajna Valkya smriti, like that, different smritis are there. So, these are 18 or 20 smriti shastras are there. So, they give rules and regulations for human society. What they should do, what their samskaras and all those things are described. So, behavior. Laws of inheritance, so many details, every aspect of social life is given, rules and regulations for Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, principles of religion, basically dharma, within Varnashrama, whatever is needed, it is there in this, dharma shastras. So, Bhagavad Gita is best dharma shastra. So like that, dharma is discussed. So then come to the point of purpose of Bhagavad Gita. This is another topic which Prabhupada discusses elaborately in the introduction. Very elaborately he discusses. And throughout Bhagavad Gita also he has discussed this one, because Krishna also discusses here and there. So we'll read some quotes about this. Basically, the purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to, it is one, but it appears twofold. Again, you can see that it is Achintya Veda. So, you cannot just remove Achintya Veda Veda from picture at all. Bhagavad Gita is meant for delivering the jivas from ignorance and reconnect, re-establish their relationship with the Supreme Lord. This is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. This is twofold, but actually it is one. Why? Because as soon as you reconnect reconnect the relationship of the jivas with the Lord, or when jivas reconnect themselves with the Lord, automatically ignorance is freed. One is freed from ignorance. One becomes free from ignorance. So, why? Because ignorance is the forgetfulness of Lord. That is what is avidya. Avidya is defined as forgetfulness of Lord and our relationship with the Lord. So, Bhagavad Gita hits on that target. To again reconnect. And it gives procedure for that. So basically, that is yoga. Yoga is a means to reunion, relink, to reconnect. So this is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita, to deliver us from ignorance and to re-establish jiva's relationship with the Supreme Lord. Is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. Now in Bhagavad Gita introduction, Srila Prabhupada begins that everyone is suffering in this world because of ignorance, just like Arjuna was suffering in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He was facing so many problems. So similarly, we are also facing so many problems due to ignorance. Due to ignorance, jiva commits sinful activities. And by committing sinful activities, it suffers from so many miseries of material existence. Prabhupada says that we are all swallowed by the nisayans of tigress. Tigress of nisayans, he says. Avidya. So Lord comes here, and when we forget the human mission, that is to deliver ourselves from this ignorance and reconnect with the Lord, Lord appears here and in this way gives Bhagavad Gita. So making Arjuna as his student, although it is not required for Arjuna. So in this way Srila Prabhupada, he explains about this. We'll read quotes and especially in the introduction in different places Prabhupada has explained this. He begins, like I was mentioning, Prabhupada has explained purpose before five subjects, but actually it is not true. It is not true. He has explained it in between many places in the introduction. So we'll try to catch all those sections and read. And all these quotes which I will read, you will see that either it is connected to delivering us from ignorance or establishing our relationship with the Lord. And ignorance manifests in different ways. So ignorance also means material attachment is ignorance. You know, in the second chapter beginning it is mentioned how Arjuna was lamenting due to ignorance, ashru purna kulekshanam, in the first tam tata kripaya vishtam ashru purna kulekshanam vishidantam idam vakyam uvacha madhusudana, he says. So and in that purport, this is 2.1 purport, he was crying literally, Ashupurna, eyes were filled. Why? He is so much overwhelmed by material affection for his family members. So Prabhupada calls it as ignorance, because it is based on bodily conception of life. Ultimately, ignorance means bodily forgetfulness of Krishna and coming into bodily conception of life. So we are all in bodily conception of life. Due to that we become materially attached and we develop material affection for those who are connected to this body, forgetting the Lord. So this is all sign of ignorance, and we want to protect her. That in the beginning of that second chapter, so thoroughly, and this material affection is condemned. It Prabhupada called it as skin disease. We are krapanas, misers, we don't know how to utilize our human form of life. We are shudras, ignorance. It is unfit for Aryans, this kind of material affection is. So we want to, there it is told, krapana, he thinks that I will protect my family members from death, and my family members will protect me from death. Of course, we should not think that if some snake is coming, we should leave that. That's another side of that. So, but the point is, internally we should know that ultimately we are not. We don't have anything to do with this body and these bodily connections. Only for temporarily we have come in the form of family members, wife, husband, children, parents, mother, father, etc. So this is Krapana mentality. Sometimes boys, we tell boys, young boys, to join Brahmachari Ashram. So they always think, what about my parents, this, that, as though they are going to change the whole world. They are going to solve all the problems of their family. Or a Brahmachari thinks of going to home because I have problem. I want to protect my family members. So you cannot even hear point of misery also, you cannot reduce your parent, you know. In fact, you may contribute in their misery and suffering. That's what happens most of the times. Because according to every jiva is taken birth. Every jiva is, it's somewhat little extreme statement what I am saying is, but it is also true. It is that aspect of karma, law of karma is very complicated it is, but this aspect is also there. Like there is one statement of Akrura, when he was talking to, this is in connection with material affection only. When Akrura was sent by Krishna to Hastinapur to see whether Pandavas are okay. Those days mobile phone was not there. How are you? Okay, every day call mother, father. It's nonsense, it is completely. Daily parents call their children who are studying away in the colleges. And our children want to call their parents. Just waste of time. This is such a nonsense it is. What? As though they are going to change all their karmas and make them free from all karma, give eternal happiness. Or just by asking, how are you, whether their karmic reactions are going to change. What is this nonsense? Is there in our hand to change the karmic reactions of others or ourselves? What to speak of others? Our karma only we cannot change. Our destiny only we cannot change. Unless Krishna desires. Unless Krishna sanctions. What to speak of changing others' destiny? So they call. And anyway, coming to that point, Akrura, he told to Dhritarashtra, don't be attached to your son. This will bring great disaster in the future, he said. Many people instructed to Dhritarashtra. So it is very dangerous. It is very dangerous for your family. Don't be attached to your son. In fact, Vidura, before that, as soon as that Duryodhana took birth, or before taking birth, I don't remember, in third canto of Bhagavatam it is mentioned. So he told him, it is a poisonous serpent, just kill it, he said. This Duryodhana is a poisonous serpent, just kill it, he said. Generally in Vedic culture, abortion or killing children is forbidden. Children are to be protected, no? Protected, weak. But he was recommended to be killed actually. He was such a dangerous guy. So, blind king Dhritarashtra, he is so blind. He blindly became attached to his son. And the result was great disaster to his family. So we see, similarly, we are also like Dhritarashtra, material existence on bodily, when we are on bodily conception of life, we are also blind like Dhritarashtra. We are attached to mother, father, wife, children. So that doesn't mean we should give up our social responsibilities, but also we should know that unnecessary attachment is like Dhritarashtra it is. We are all Dhritarashtra. So Arjuna also became blind by that material affection. And Krishna smashed him. Krishna called him, you are a fool. You are a Krapana. You are not Aryan. You are a Shudra. You are important. So, all these words Krishna he used, but in a very gentlemanly way. So, but it is very strong. Bhagavad Gita is very strong. So in this way we should know that we are all blinded by this material affection. So in 4th chapter 35th verse again where Prabhupada he describes this material affection, he describes the purpose of Bhagavad Gita there. This is called Maya. Thinking that forgetting our relation with Krishna, thinking the relationships of this material world as very important is called as Maya, illusion. We are in illusion. So to deliver the illusion conditioned soul from this material existence, Bhagavad Gita is spoken, he says. And in second chapter 2.16 also, so ignorance, then how Krishna is delivering? Krishna gave this knowledge of Atma, Atma Vidya, soul. By giving this knowledge of soul or self-realization, how soul is connected to Krishna. So he delivered Arjuna from that ignorance. So knowledge of Jiva's relationship, how it is, Achintya Bheda, eternally related, simultaneously one and different from Krishna and subordinate to Krishna, meant to serve Krishna. So by giving that knowledge, he delivered Arjuna from this ignorance, or in other words, he is delivering all of us. So we should thoroughly understand this, especially those who want to become brahmacharis. And those who want to stay in brahmachari ashram, they should. You see, lust is something in material world, according to Shastra, although in modern days, because of lust being too lusty, they give up serving mother and father. But ultimately in the material world, a mother's love, affection is very strong. That is considered as highest love in the material world. Mother's love is considered. Because the element of selflessness is more there than even wife also. So, it is very difficult to cut off our relation, brahmacharis especially, cut our relation with parents. And it may haunt us even being in the ashram. So, in India it is like that. Young students, you see, you preach to them. Once Jolnas Bhakti Vikas Maharaj was giving lecture in Belgaum, and we had organized program for students, and one student, he was telling about we should surrender to Krishna in the lecture. Somehow that point came. Then one student, you told us we should surrender to Krishna, but what about parents? That boy is asking. In a challenging mood. And Maharaj also answered in a by seeing his attitude. Your previous mother and father are Kutta and Kuti. Go and serve them, he said. What happened? What about them, actually? Right or not? So, of course, within Varnashrama, we want to encourage that. We want to encourage taking care of parents. It is a social responsibility, definitely. There is no doubt in that. So we want to encourage that within Varnashrama. We want to establish Varnashrama, and within Varnashrama, we want to take. It's not that irresponsibility we want to start. But we should know, if it becomes hindrance to our service to Krishna, then we should not, we should be careful about it. It should not become hindrance, material affection. In India, this family system is there. Of course, nowadays it's just, that also is gone now. That's why old age homes and all have come up. So that also is gone now. But the point is, family affection is there, but sometimes it becomes hindrance for self-realization. So we have to be careful, especially in Krishna consciousness, about it. Because we want to establish Varnashrama also, and side by side we want to attain self-realization, which is also goal of Varnashrama. No? So, sometime we become, then we are part of cage policing civilization. If you are not careful, krapana, all these things which are told. So in this way, this is ignorance, sign of ignorance. caring for the body and just saving. What example? This kind of compassion, what Prabhupada gives the example, actually it is given by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It must be coming from Parampara, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's example Prabhupada gave. Saving the coat of a drowning man or dress of a drowning man. That is compassion for body. And compassion for eternal soul is self-realization. That is knowledge. That is ignorance and knowledge are defined in the first verse. So there Prabhupada talks about purpose of Bhagavad Gita also. So Krishna spoke this Bhagavad Gita to deliver the jiva from ignorance. So we will see this. These two topics, they flow. And another point, because of ignorance, miseries, we suffer from so many miseries. Like in modern days, people are thinking that by doing economic development, technological advancement, we will solve all the problems, but they are getting entangled into more and more problems. That shows that all this knowledge which is there in modern society, empirical knowledge is just ignorance, it is, because they are entangling. If you have knowledge, if it is knowledge what you are talking and what you are doing here in the name of progress and advancement, then why miseries are existing, increasing, problems are increasing, they are not reducing, right? Everyone can see that only blind, low-class fool, insane fool like Richard Dawkins, he can think that, oh, science has cured smallpox, medical advancement in medical science is helping people to lead healthy lives. Industrial technology has given better lifestyle. Only fool and insane rascal, low class insane fellow can think like that. It's an open, observable fact that problems have increased in the world, right? So many problems have increased, right? And everything is spoiled, you know. Health problems, whole tsunami of diseases is coming, and this guy is telling that people are leading healthy lives. Such a idiot rascal he is. You know, we cannot explain the insanity of such fellow in human words. Actually, if someone is little sane, can understand that how this whole technological advancement, industrial civilization has created havoc, right, in the society. What and all problems are not there? We can go on listing, but this guy, they are so blinded by all this nonsense, pseudoscience. Fanatic scientism. Such a fanatic fellow he is. So, such fellows should be just shot, that's all. You cannot teach them any good lessons. You just shoot them. Shudras. That's why they were not allowed to be learned people in traditional cultures. So, because ignorance always, you know, opposite. It works a peculiar condition of the jiva, Prabhupada explains. Ignorance means you can see the peculiar, you know, thinking it is. Any little bit intelligence he can understand, but these guys. So this is ignorance. Humanity is in ignorance. It is entangling itself into the cycle of problems and so-called solutions. So to deliver them, just like Arjuna was in problem, so Bhagavad Gita is spoken. That is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. Purpose to deliver. So if humanity, like I was telling, anything other than Bhagavad Gita is just fanaticism in the present day world, I was telling. So if humanity at all has to liberate from all the issues, they need emancipation, they should take to Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise there is no solution in this world. The so-called religions have, because of their dogmatic preaching, they also have become the cause of problem. And fanatic scientism and all the scientific bogus empiricism has become cause of problem. Therefore, only solution is so Bhagavad Gita. If you want to, this is real sociology. If you want to understand the social problems and give solution, this is the solution. So if you want to study sociology, study Bhagavad Gita. Then you will get proper. Otherwise, what is this? So many, this sociology has become such a big topic in the world. Subject of so many scholars, you know, philosophers, so many scholars are engaged into studying, new cults, you know, all these religions, studying the, you know, philosophy of science, history of science. They study science also and religions also. So many documentaries they make and all those things. So they are studying scientism, they are studying religion, everything they are doing, but they are just, they are also in ignorance or dying. So in the society. So therefore this is very important. Okay, so we'll read some quotes now and end our class, then we can take some questions. So that, so just what is Bhagavad Gita, there is one paragraph, no? You got it? The purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to deliver mankind from the science of material existence. I gave example how scientific advancement has caused their people into ignorance. Every man is in difficulty in so many ways, as Arjuna was also in difficulty in having to fight the battle of Kurukshetra. Arjuna surrendered unto Sri Krishna, and consequently this Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Not only Arjuna, but every one of us is in full of anxieties. Because of this material existence, our very existence is in the atmosphere of non-existence. Why there are anxieties in this world? Because we have accepted this temporary body, asat. Non-existence means asat. We are sat, atma is sat, we have accepted asat. So Prahlad said, no? What he said? Tat sadhu manne suravarya deinam sada samudvigna diyam asat grahat. Sada samudvigna diyam. So we are samudvigna, full of anxieties. Asat grahat, by accepting asat, non-existent. So temporary householder life, family life is the cause of so many anxieties. Money, 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 always you have to think. And wife will harass, children will harass. In 5th canto of Bhagavatam, you know, it is told. So there are what they are? Jackals and wolves. So jackals and wolves. So they always harass us. So sada samdvigna asat, temporary householder life, temporary body we have accepted, and temporary material world, we are in the temporary material world. Therefore we are always in anxiety. Our nature, true nature of that is sat, and we are supposed to be on the platform of sat, and the present conditioned nature, which is asat. So there is incompatibility always. Therefore there is, you know, dissatisfaction. There is no fulfillment. So in modern days people are here. In modern days people are every day manufacturing newer and newer ways of sense enjoyment. Still they will never be satisfied and fulfilled, because of this incompatibility between our true state of existence and our present conditioned state of existence. So this is the meaning of this statement. Very philosophical, very scholarly statement. You can expand these statements like anything. So our existence is eternal, but somehow or other we are put into asat. Asat refers to that which does not exist. That means temporary. Not exist means not false. It is temporary. Later Prabhupada explains in the same introduction here. So then next paragraph, importance of human form of life. Then Lord Krishna descends specifically to re-establish the real purpose of life when man forgets that purpose. Even then, out of many, many human beings who awaken, there may be one who actually enters the spirit of understanding his position. For him, this Bhagavad Gita is spoken. Actually, we are all swallowed by the tigress of nescience. But the Lord is very merciful upon the living entities, especially human beings. To this end, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita. This is the purpose of it. To this end, why he spoke this? What is the purpose? Making his friend Arjuna his student. Being an associate of Lord Krishna, Arjuna was above all ignorance, but Arjuna was put into ignorance on battlefield of Kurukshetra just to question Lord about the problems of life so that Lord could explain them for the benefit of future generations of human beings and chalk out the plan of life. Then man could act accordingly and perfect the mission of human life. So you see, here I was telling two core purposes. One is ignorance, delivering from ignorance. Here basically it is focused on delivering one from ignorance. So then Prabhupada talks about five subject matters. Afterwards, after many paragraphs, there is one paragraph which begins with we should know, however, that at this point our not paragraph or somewhere in the middle it is. However, what is that? Actually, we should know, however, that at this point our consciousness. So there is discussion about consciousness.
We should know how there is.
Read that.
It is the last line of the paragraph. We should know how.
So it is there, you see. We should know, however. You got it, Damodar? Read. We should know, however.
At this point, our consciousness is contaminated.
When?
We are conditioned. False consciousness is exhibited under the impression that I am of truth of material nature. This is called false ego. One who is absorbed in the thought of bodily consciousness cannot understand each situation. Bhagavad Gita was spoken to liberated one from the bodily conception of life, and Arjuna put himself in this position in order to receive this information by the Lord. One must become free from the bodily conception of life. That is the
You see here, Bhagavad Gita was spoken to liberate one from bodily conception of life. Bodily conception is also ignorance. It is ignorance, sign of ignorance. That is the preliminary activity of a transcendentalist. So Prabhupada here he says, one must free himself from bodily conception. That is the preliminary activity of transcendentalist. The first thing, there are three transcendentalists: jnani, yogi, and bhakta. Devotees also, we should not be in bodily conception of life. What will happen to my mother? What about my mother? What about my father? What about my wife? What about my children? And all like that. So, bodily conception of life. So, just a minute. So, continue reading.
Preliminary activity for the transcendentalist, one who wants to become free, who wants to become liberated, must first of all learn that he is not this material body. Mukti or liberation means freedom from material consciousness. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also the definition of liberation is given.
Swarupena vyavasthitihi. I was telling that other part of other aspect of purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to relink, establish our relationship with Krishna. That is mukti, right? Mukti hitvanvata rupam swarupena. Swarupa means what? Our eternal jivera swarupa hoy Krishna ranita. That is our eternal relationship. It is meant for establishing our eternal relationship. Means mukti means?
Mukti means liberation from the situation in pure consciousness.
Liberation from the contaminated consciousness of this material world and situation in pure consciousness. Yeah.
All the instructions of Bhagavad Gita are intended pure consciousness, and therefore we find at the last stage of the Gita instruction that Krishna is asking Arjuna whether he is now in purified consciousness.
See here. Again, all the instructions of Bhagavad Gita are intended to awaken this pure consciousness, and therefore we find in the last stage of Gita's instructions that Krishna is asking Arjuna whether he is now in purified consciousness. Purified consciousness means acting in accordance with the instructions of the Lord. This is the whole sum and substance of purified consciousness. Yeah, so in this way, this is talking about purified consciousness is Krishna consciousness, that is love of Godhead. Then after that, there is in the beginning of Arjuna decided, in the beginning Arjuna decided that there is one section, you know, where it is just immediately after Karishye, but it ends with Karishye Vachanam Tava. Like that he says. Yeah. See, we have to, where we read after that some four pages you have to, four pages. Page means you understand, no? Page, not four papers. Four page. So there proper, you know, he says, you see, there is one, paragraph which begins, there are many examples given how we are to utilize those things which are set aside by for us Lord. There a second statement is, this is also explained in Bhagavad Gita. And third statement, in the beginning Arjuna decided that he should not fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. This was his own decision. Arjuna told Lord that it was not possible for him to enjoy the kingdom after killing his own kinsmen. This decision was based on body, because he was thinking that body was himself and that his bodily relations are expansions where his brothers, nephews, brothers-in-law, grandfathers and so on. See, again, bodily conception, it is coming. Ignorance. Therefore, he wanted to satisfy his bodily demands. Bhagavad Gita was spoken by the Lord to just to change this view, and at the end, Arjuna decides to fight under the directions of the Lord when he says, Karishye Vachanam Tava, I shall act according to your word. So, in this way, this ends. And next, there is one section which begins with, in this material world, we find that, like that it begins, and ends with, this, that is called our pure life. Next to next paragraph. So read that. Yeah. So you see, it is just, leave one paragraph. We were reading, no? Karishye Vachanam Tava. I shall act according to your word. After that, leave one paragraph, and the next paragraph it is says. In the next paragraph, the destination is called Sanatana sky, the, you know, eternal sky. Leave that statement also, and the next statement is, in this material world. Yeah, read.
We find that everything is temporal. It comes into being, stays for some time, reduces some time to us, and then vanishes.
This is asat. Okay, that is the law.
That is the law of the material. Whether we use as an example this body, or a piece of fruit, or anything. But beyond this temporary world, there is another world of which we have information. That world consists of another nature, which is Sanatana, eternal. The Jiva is also described as Sanatana, eternal. And the Lord is also described as Sanatana, the eternal Sanatana. We have an intimate relationship with the Lord. And because we are all collectively one, the Sanatana Dharma, or Skari, the Sanatana Supreme Personality, and the Sanatana Living Entity, the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to revive our Sanatana occupation.
See here. The whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to revive our Sanatana occupation, you know, Sanatana Dharma, or our eternal connection with the Lord, eternal relationship with the Lord. we are temporarily engaged in different activities, but all these activities can be purified when we give up all these temporary activities and take up the activities which are prescribed by the Supreme Lord. That is called our pure life. Then we have to go little towards the end of the introduction. There, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 20.122, there is following verse: Maya Mukta Jive Nahi Swata Krishna Dhyan. There is one verse you see quoted. Maya Mukta Jive Nahi Swata Krishna Dhyan. You got it? Everyone got it? Maya Mukta Jive Nahi Swata. Keep Bhagavad Gita up. Give him one small table, no? We had so many tables, right? No. Table, not table. You can share with Prabhuji. You can share, no? Both of you. No place, huh? Come, you can share with him for some time. So you also have on the table, huh? Your table was there, no? You had written name on that Kunji Vihari like that, huh? Where is that? Damodar has taken. You can have your own table. Small tables can be given to devotees, small children. We have sufficient or not? Yeah, sufficient. Okay. So what I was saying, coming back to our Maya Mukta Jivir Nahi Swata Krishna Dhyan Divera Kripa Kaile Krishna Veda Puran. This verse is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is a Sanatan Shiksha. It is teachings to Sanatan Goswami. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching to Sanatan Goswami. What is the purpose of the Vedic literature? When we talk about purpose of Vedic literature, that includes purpose of Bhagavad Gita also. Right? We are discussing purpose of Bhagavad Gita, no? Here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing the purpose of Vedic literature. That includes purpose of Bhagavad Gita also. The forgetful living entities or conditioned soul have forgotten their relationship with the Supreme Lord. And they are engrossed in thinking of material activities. I was telling, no? Second aspect of purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to re-establish our relationship with the Lord. They are engrossed in thinking of material. Just to transfer their thinking power to the spiritual sky, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa has given a great number of Vedic literature. First he divided the Vedas into four. Then he explained them in the Puranas. For less capable people, he wrote the Mahabharata. In Mahabharata, there is given the Bhagavad Gita. Then all Vedic literature summarized. In Vedanta Sutra, and for the future guidance he gave natural commentation on Vedanta Sutra called Srimad Bhagavatam. How it happens? Re-establishing by thinking of Krishna. Now our thought is engaged in thinking of material objects, wife, children, mother, father, relatives, everyone. So by one reason to overcome material affection, one way of overcoming material affection is to hear Shastra, read Shastra, absorb our mind in Shastra. Then we'll be able to think about Krishna. And in this way we can establish our relationship with Krishna. Now come to 2.1 purport. I was quoting that, explaining that. So after defining what is ignorance and what is knowledge, so in the end, Prabhupada, he says that, you see there is one statement beginning from, a man fallen in the ocean. So in the middle you see, a man fallen in the ocean of nescience cannot be saved simply by rescuing his outward dress, the gross material body. So material, mundane welfare activities, serving the nation, serving the society, serving the family, those connected to bodily relationships. So we want to work hard, earn money, give facilities so that they will do sinful activities, watch television, all these kind of things. so and go to hell. It's just waste of time. A gross material body, one who does not know this and laments for outward dress is called a Shudra, or one who laments unnecessarily. Arjuna was a Kshatriya, and this conduct was not expected from him. Lord Krishna, however, can dissipate the lamentation of the ignorant man, and for this purpose the Bhagavad Gita was sung by him. This is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. So then 2.16 purport, second paragraph. So here it says how by giving the knowledge of Achintya Veda Veda, now we are saying ignorance, how ignorance will be, one will be liberated from ignorance by Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. So Prabhupada writes, this is the beginning of instruction by the Lord to the living entities who are bewildered by the influence of ignorance. See, again ignorance is coming. So beginning of the, this is actually Lord Krishna began his instructions on 11th verse, but here Prabhupada in the 16th verse purport he is writing, this is the beginning. That we will discuss when we will discuss verses, verse by verse, why Prabhupada is telling like that. By the Lord, the living entities who are bewildered by the influence of ignorance. Removal of ignorance involves a re-establishment of the eternal relationship between the worshipper and worshipable. So how ignorance is removed? Establish an eternal relationship between the worshipper and... I was telling, no? It has two aspects. Purpose of Bhagavad Gita. Here it is more clear, you see. Purpose of Bhagavad Gita is... It is one actually, but it manifests into two: removal of ignorance and re-establishment. It is one only. Both happen simultaneously. Removal of ignorance involves a re-establishment of eternal relationship between the worshipper and the worshipable, and the consequent understanding of the difference between the part and parcel living entities and the Supreme Personality of God. One can understand the nature of the Supreme by thorough study of oneself, and the difference between oneself and the Supreme under being understood as relationship between the part and the whole. This is Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, right? Then only one will be removed from ignorance. In the Vedanta Sutra as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme has been accepted as the origin of all emanations. Such emanations are experienced by superior and inferior natural sequences. So para and apara prakriti. The living entities belong to the superior nature as it will be revealed in the 7th chapter. Although there is no difference between the energy and the energetic is accepted as the supreme and the energy or nature is accepted as the subordinate. The living entities, this is difference. The living entities, therefore, are always subordinate to the Supreme Lord, as in case of the master and the servant, or the teacher and the taught. Such clear knowledge is impossible to understand under the spell of ignorance. And to drive away such ignorance, the Lord teaches the Bhagavad Gita for the enlightenment of all living entities for all time. So, this is. So, 3.30 purport. Purport says, this verse clearly explains the purpose of Bhagavad Gita, he says. This verse clearly indicates the purpose of Bhagavad Gita, he says. What is this verse? Mai sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa nirashri nirmamo bhutva yudhya savya. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship and free from lethargy, fight. Why he is saying like this purpose? Because the word sannyas, adhyatma chetasa. Adhyatma chetasa means Krishna consciousness. The purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to again fix us in Krishna consciousness. Adhyatma chetasa. Full knowledge of the... Adhyatma means full knowledge of the self. Full knowledge of the self means, unless we know our relationship with Krishna, how we will know full knowledge of the self? Just knowing that we are not this body is full knowledge of the self? No. When we know our relationship with Krishna, then that is full knowledge. Therefore, this verse establishes, indicates the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. Then 4.35, you see there again 4.35 talks. 4.34 tells about Sadvidhi principle, approaching spiritual master and gaining this knowledge, transcendental knowledge. And what is that transcendental knowledge? Yajnyatvana punanmoham evam yasasi pandava yena bhutana sheshani drakshashatman yato mahi. So he sees everyone within the Lord and Lord separate from the... So Lord, living entities are part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. Mama. Mai. So mai. They are Krishna's. They belong to Krishna. They are of the same nature of Krishna. But they are parts of Krishna. So then by knowing this knowledge, yajnyatva na punar moham. Again one will not go into moha. Moha ya maya. Moha means material affection. Delusion caused by, due to material affection. Like Arjuna was in moha in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. He was affected by material relationships. So you can see there. For want of that paragraph begins, second paragraph. For want of sufficient knowledge in the absence of science, in the absolute science, we are now covered with illusion. And therefore we think that we are separated from Krishna. Although we are separated parts of Krishna, we are nevertheless not different from Krishna. The bodily differences of the living entities is maya, are not factual. You see, bodily difference of the living entities is maya, are not factual. Means, because of our bodies, we have forgotten our relation, oneness with Krishna, our relationship with Krishna. That is maya. Yes. We are all meant to satisfy Krishna. By maya alone, Arjuna thought that temporary bodily relationship with his kinsmen are more important than his eternal spiritual relation with Krishna. See? Ignorance and establishing relationship with Krishna. So how they are connected? So we are all thinking like this. Oh, if you tell people to surrender to Krishna, they think, oh, why I should surrender? What about my mother? What about my father? What about my children? What about my wife? So important than his eternal relationship with Krishna. The whole teaching of Gita is targeted towards this end. That a living being, as Krishna's eternal servitor, cannot be separated from Krishna, and his sense of being identity apart from Krishna is called maya. To deliver us this, from this maya, we are all in illusion. We are in maya, moha maya. So, in this way, this Bhagavad Gita is spoken to deliver us from maya, our ignorance. So, then one more quote is there. So many quotes. 11.55 purport is a long purport. You can try to find it. There is one of the statement begins, the Bhagavad Gita is meant to show, in the beginning only it is there, you see some 3-4 lines if you leave. The Bhagavad Gita is meant to show how one can understand his spiritual existence and his eternal relationship with the Supreme Spiritual Personality, and to teach one how to go back home, back to Godhead. Now, so that is that two lines. One statement. The Bhagavad Gita is meant to show how one can understand his spiritual existence and his eternal relationship with the Supreme Spiritual Personality, and to teach one how to go back home, back to Godhead. That is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any questions, comments? So what is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita? Tell. You are writing so many things. What you wrote? Show me. Show. Yeah, what is the purpose? Good. Deliver us from ignorance and to join. Good. so many things you are writing, from introduction. He has written so many statements. You see, mukti means freedom from material consciousness. A man fallen in the ocean of nescience cannot be saved simply by rescuing his outward dress, the gross material body. Very nice, very nice, very nice. Bhagavad Gita was spoken to deliver one from bodily conception of life. Good, good, good. You don't have book? You are writing here. Kunjivihari is a poor man always. His clothes, his paper, everything. Why Kunjivihari? I think your destiny is not good, right? Even if you give book, even if you clothes also, it is meant you are destined to be in poverty only. There is one story, you know, some Shiva Parvati story, somebody was heard, I had heard a long back something. One beggar was there. Shiva Parvati asked, why don't you give? It is connected to mundane welfare worker. How it is not effective, mundane welfare workers. So Parvati to asked him, why you are not giving him some gold, something? Then he put some gold coin or something inside a watermelon and gave that to him. You see now, he will not take it. So then what he did was that fellow, he sold watermelon and took some money and paper money and went away. And inside that there was gold and all. So people will not take gold, they will take some paper money. Right? You know, it happens, you know, in the train and all, some beggars come. If you give them prasadam, they will not take. They want money to drink chai. So ultimately this will not work actually, mundane welfare work. Our charity on Kunjibhari is not acting at all. Okay, so who wanted to ask something?
So this, why Lord Krishna told to Brahma that only your sampradaya should act?
No, you and your sampradaya, like that he said. You see, Brahma was the first living being. He was imparted this Vedic knowledge first. Later other sampradayas came into existence. Actually Brahma sampradaya is the first sampradaya. If you see, other sampradayas came into existence. So original message is in Brahma sampradaya. Other message, we don't say, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, there is some truth in them. Completely they are not wrong, definitely. So, and especially four Vaishnava Sampradayas, we should cooperate with them in the sense that they have common goal of Vishnu Bhakti. We all have common goal of Vishnu Bhakti. That should be emphasized than the differences, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He also told like that. Just to understand the comparison between to make a comparative analysis in relation with Achintya Bheda Vedatva, he told the inferiority of other philosophies. But from the point of view factice and goal, the common goal of Vishnu Bhakti should be emphasized. Differences should not be emphasized between Vaishnava Sampradayas, he says, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in another place, not there in Brahma Samhita. So in that sense, we should appreciate other sampradayas also. They will also attain the final goal, goal of life, definitely. So they are also bona fide. Their bhakti is also bona fide. They are pure devotees. We can say it. No, there is no doubt in that. But the point is, they did not give Achintya Bheda Vedatva. And especially, in one sense they are given, no? Because Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva is the synthesis of all these four philosophies. Synthesis of four philosophies. So, different acharyas, how we have to understand that, then why they did not give this complete philosophy, why they gave only part of this philosophy. That time it was according to time, place, circumstances, it was required. Like for example, when Shankara preached Advaita, it was necessary to stress on the difference. Therefore, Madhvacharya stressed on difference. Because everyone was stressing on oneness. Every oneness was very dominant. So he had to stress the difference. Now the synthesis of this both is what? Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Both oneness is also there and difference is also there. It's clear? It was the necessity of the, according to the necessity of the time, they preached like that. That is the answer for your question.
So, okay, so that time they preached, but now these sampradayas, they should accept this.
That is your duty to convince them, no? You are coming in Brahma Sampradaya, your duty to convince them. You should go and convince them.
So, why? Acha, so, we have not tried to convince them till now.
Yeah, so you should try them. Yeah,
no, out of the five subject matters which were discussed in Bhagavad Gita, so it is said that karma is not eternal. But in one sense, like.
Oh, I didn't comment on that. Okay, no.
But in one sense, like, karma is also eternal because even in material world we have to do something. Anikashchanamapi, that sloka is there. So not even 1 second we can stay without doing anything. So in that sense, karma is also eternal.
No. It is connected to individual. Individual's karma is not eternal. As a karma topic, as a karma is, activities are there in the material world, general topic. Here it is specifically mentioned about individual karma. Individually, for living entities, karma. You know, who performs karma? Individual. So if individual karma becomes eternal, then there is no question of liberation of jiva only. Right? That is what, you know, other religions' mistake is. They talk about eternal damnation. Eternally they will suffer in the hell like that. Those who don't believe, you have to believe. They don't give you any intellectual why you should believe them. If you don't believe, then eternally you will suffer in hell. All Islam, Christianity. Generally, those things must be stated in their scriptures. That is to, you have to understand the spirit behind that. That is to create fear in the jivas. Some people need, they will not understand intellectually. They need to be scared, then only they will follow dharma. That's who most of that, those the religions are not on intellectual platform. They are on a platform of fear. Fear of, what is that? Eternally suffering in the hell. That's how they preach. One time one of our devotee went to one interfaith conference and he told me how they were preaching. Basically they were putting fear. One Muslim speaker had come and he was also speaking, scaring people, if you don't believe, like that. So you go to hell all day. So they are on the platform of fear. So that is wrong. You know. Therefore karma is temporary. Once we enjoy or suffer the reaction of the karma, then karma is finished. Then new karma. That's how it is. Any other questions?
Material happiness is temporary, but it is said in the sense that because the body ends. We have discussed material happiness is illusory also. So 15.1 Urdu Mulama Dashakam. Material world is there, a perverted reflection of spiritual world. That example of a tree's shadow on the water is given. So how, when the tree's shadow is a reflection, and how we can even consider material happiness to be temporary is completely...
So your quote of example is misquoted. It is. You should see why the quote is given. Quote is given to understand that spiritual world is the reality and this is reflection. And we can understand common sense, you know, that shadow is not, it is temporary. Shadow will not be there all the time, right or not? when sun is there, shadow is there. Otherwise, there is no shadow, right? When light is there is shadow. Otherwise, there is no shadow. So, therefore, it is temporary. It is. Shadow is temporary, no? Everyone knows. Common sense it is. Is clear? And why I was saying misquote means, we try to understand the truth. We try to come to some conclusion by studying the analogies. But analogies are given to understand the conclusion. We should not twist and turn them. Mayavadis, they do that. They are, you know, wicked logicians. You got that? It's clear?
Who is regarding these five subject matters? Like general question is that how much we can understand this five things? Because what
is in Bhagavad Gita he said, you know, he says, what he says? Maya saktamana partha yogam nyunjan madashaya samshayam samagramam yatadhyasasi tashtuno. So by engaging in devotional service to me, you will understand me completely, hear about this, like that he says. Completely, samagram he uses. Completely, Prabhupada he explained in different ways. Once he said completely means we will understand Bhagavan aspect of the Lord, that includes Brahman and Paramatma. But how much we will understand about Bhagavan also, that question comes, right? Just like how much you can put water in a glass of water. When you fill that glass, then it is completely filled, it is. But if it is half filled, it is incomplete. But that doesn't mean that glass will fit an ocean. You can fit ocean in the glass. It is not possible to fit ocean in the world. Complete knowing means to the your capacity. That basically as much, you know, Lord reveals to us. Right or not? Some special Mahabhagavats, you know. So Lord reveals to them more than, you know, some common jivas. So it depends on, you know, that Atas Shri Krishna Nama Adi Na Bhavitraya Mindriya Sevan Mukhi Jivado Swayamai Vaspuratada. Ultimately, it is not, you know, we are not independent. How much Lord reveals to us, that much only we can understand. To the extent Lord reveals to us. Swayamai Vaspuratada. When we become Sevan Mukha, when we develop servitude, now we are all Bhogan Mukha or Bahir Mukha. We have developed, we have turned our face against the Lord. We have developed enjoying tendency, independent of the Lord. So we don't want to get attracted to the Lord. We are attracted to some material objects of this world, Bahir Mukha. So when we become Sevan Mukha, then Lord reveals to us. And to the extent Lord reveals, that extent we can know, that's all.
So yeah. Then some questions will be there which will be answered in that way only, cannot be answered.
Yeah, ultimately discussion is not is the conclusion. You may go on discussing. There can be many things which are going on beyond our experience, right? Beyond our intellectual capacity. That's why every time you read Bhagavad Gita, that's why we were telling, no, Bhagavad Gita study will be, it's not that once we read Bhagavad Gita study is over, it will go on different levels. One section will come there. So Bhagavad Gita study will never end. No, today I finished. That you can say word finished for all this, your Tom and Swam and, but not for Bhagavad Gita. That's why, no, it is told that Lord Ananta with his unlimited hoods is going on counting or glorifying. There in 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Jnane prayasamu tapasya namanta evas sanmukaritam bhavadhi avatam. That example is given. Jnanis try to beat around the bush. Beat around the bush means nothing comes out of it. by their mental speculation. At certain point of time, you cannot speculate beyond that. You know, just they will keep on. Still, they are so adamant that, oh, my mental speculation, I will understand everything. That is beating around the bush. Nothing comes out of that. So that's why now scientists are also bewildered. Now nothing is coming out now. Time to time, some word jugglery they will do and cheat the people. So, and also told there in those prayers, a lot of things are discussed about this, knowing the absolute truth. One may count the atoms of earth, atoms of fog, atoms in the sun rays, but one cannot count the your qualities, like that, it is told. So then in the purport of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he says, there are many personalities who have counted these things. Counted atoms in the earth, counted atoms in the fog, atoms in the sun rays. So still they are not able to count Lord's glories, like Ananta and all, he says. So Lord is unlimited, no? Right? Where is ocean and where is Bindu? Bindu. Okay, any other question?
In the spiritual world, there is absence of sex life. And, but lust is the transformation of love in material world. So satisfying those desires is illusory. And if it is illusory, then why this word temporary?
No. Our illusion means, see, there is something called illusion also. It is not that it is not existing. So, Mayavadis even make that also. Nothing. According, you see, this is the defect of Mayavad philosophy. There is something called illusion also, but Mayavadi, according to Mayavad philosophy, it should not exist. If it is mithya, everything is mithya in the material world, illusion should not exist. That is the defect of Mayavad philosophy. So, but according to Vaishnava philosophy, there is something called illusion. What is that illusion? That is defined as Maya, that which does not exist. So, but it is there in our conception, it is conception of the jiva it is. Misconception of the jiva, not just conception. Conception means it should be true. So it's a misconception of the jiva. So that is defined in those four verses of Bhagavatam. What is Maya? Ratertam na pratiyeta na pratiyeta tham vidyadatmano mayam yatavasham yatatamaha. One of the four verses of Chatushloki Bhagavatam defines what is Maya. If we think that there is something other than Krishna, something separate than Krishna, that is illusion. So it is illusion is what ultimately it is just in our conception it is. It is a misconception. So that's why we are thinking two bodies are meeting and the mind is imagining that I am happy, enjoying. But it has nothing to do with the soul and soul it is, which is the real self. And mind and body are inert there. Just by their rubbing, we are going to get any happiness? No. But in illusion, it's also in Sanskrit called as Atma Viparyayaha. Due to false identification with the body, we think that there is some happiness which I am experiencing in this rubbing body. So for this, some examples are given in Bhagavatam. This question was asked by Maitreya Muni to Vidura. In third canto this comes. So he gives example. Just like if you see the reflection of moon in the water, it appears that moon is shaking. But what is shaking? Water is shaking. But we think that moon is shaking. Some ignorant man can think moon is shaking. Similarly, in ignorance, we are thinking because of identification, we are identifying the moon with the water, we think that it is shaking. Similarly, because of identification with the body, we think that we are happy or unhappy. But it has nothing to do with both happiness and unhappiness. Has nothing to do with this body, with ourself, Atma. It is just a misconception.
its identification. This is told in Bhagavad Gita. Matra sparshastu kaunteya. Because of false identification with the body and senses, therefore Prabhupada in the purport he gives no example. The same water, in summer it gives pleasure and same water in the winter it gives pain, misery. So water is, pain and pleasure is there in the misery or in our perception? It is in our perception. It is our false identification with the body. That is Sukha and Dukkha of this world. So, our Prabhupada gave another example there. Sometimes teacher says, if you do the same mischief, I will cut your head and hang it. Then you will see, the teacher says. Once the head is cut, what he will see? But this fellow, small child, it thinks that, oh, my head will be cut and hang. It is identifying that cut head. Then he becomes fearful. This is false identification. So this false identification, misconception, is called as maya. It's clear?
But the temporary word is in connection with the...
Temporary is in connection with this material energy, asaka, or that maya is also, that misconception is also temporary. It is. It is there, but it is temporary. It is not that it doesn't exist. Got that? It is temporary. It will not remain eternally. If it is eternal, jiva will eternally remain in the material world. There is no question of liberation of jiva. These are all such a high of philosophical topics which are outside, you know, all these Christians, Muslims, they cannot even imagine to understand all these things. There's so nice things in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, so nice things. We have to understand what is Maya. That's whole one whole verse, that too most important portion. Bhagavatam is the topmost literature and those four verses are most important in Bhagavatam. And one verse is dedicated to understanding what is this Maya, because Prabhupada commenting on this verse, these four verses are again discussed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, first chapter of Chaitanya. Therefore Prabhupada says, side by side, along with knowing the absolute truth, we should also know that this Maya, material energy. No, they say that this material world is mithya, it is false. Then if everything is mithya, false, then falsity should not exist, right? Falsity should not exist. Or in other words, pain which we are experiencing in this world is mithya. Then why they go to doctor then? Yeah. So if you beat them with a bat, then why they run to doctors? They should not feel the pain. It should not exist, no, right or not? Then they have one more theory for that. That is, what is that? Vyavaharika vad or something like that. Because till one is in conditioned state, he experiences that. Once liberated, he doesn't experience that like that. They are very smart in putting all these things. Okay, once you liberate, we will beat you nicely. Sannyasis are supposed to be liberated, no? Sannyasis, all Mayavadis are sannyasis. We will beat now. Dandagrahana matrena naranarayana bhavati. You are supposed to be liberated. You are supposed to be Narayana. We will beat you nicely. All kinds of bogus things. Okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.